Blog Talk Radio.
Gotta be aware. It's a really simple prayer. I wanna be.
Oh, You are Alpha and Omega. Thank you for your presence. We worship you, our Lord. Ooh. Somebody throw your hands up in the air and tell it. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. Woo! We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. I need every worshiper to open your mouth and tell them, we give you
me. You are the one. Hallelujah, Jesus. Here I am, Lord Jesus. I come to worship and bow down before you this morning. Forgive me of any thoughts, any words, any action that I may have done, known or not known, Lord, as I enter into your presence, Lord. I enter in with thanksgiving in my heart, with a song on my lips. Oh, God, I ask your forgiveness and your mercy. Lord, that you stretch out your hand of compassion, your hand of love over the world. God, there's so much going on in the world. Wherever we look, wherever we search, Lord, there's so much death, so much murder, so much corruption, Lord. And only you can, only you and you alone can make things right, Lord. So we are calling on you this morning. And the message this morning, Lord, that you have given to us on yesterday, is how soon people forget. How soon people forget. We forget. How soon we forget what God has done. How God has corrected us, and then we go back into the same mess, doing the same mess over and over and over, expecting different results. And we hear the man says that when you keep doing the same thing, expecting different results, that is a fool. Is the fool who does the same things over and over and expecting different results. I remember when I would say, well, you know, I was never going to get high anymore because at that point in time, my money had run out and nobody was going to give me anything. My family wasn't going to give me anything. My so-called friends wasn't going to give me anything because guess what? What little they had, they want to get some powder to cook it up, to smoke it themselves. They weren't going to give me anything. And I was swearing, I'd say, I'm not going, I don't care what nobody say, I ain't never going to get high. But I was saying that because I did have no money. Hallelujah. As soon as I get some money, as soon as I got to do a job, as soon as I get a paycheck, I was going back doing the same thing, thinking that I could go there and that I would be all right. I was doing the same thing, expecting different results. And I end up the same way, being stoned and being broken and being disgusted. So I was a fool for a long, 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 long time. And I'm not ashamed to tell you, I was a fool for a long time. But thank the Lord, thank the Father for sending his son Jesus. As we do the prayer of salvation every day on this line, to send his son Jesus to die on the cross so that I could really be delivered from the vice. And so I remember what Jesus has done for me and for us. And I can tell you without any equivocation that I am not going back that same place. I'm not going back in the lion's den and trying to think I can put my hand in the lion's mouth and don't get back as a fool. You know what's up there? I put my hand in the lion's mouth. No, you're a liar. I hear people say, you know, they had these people down south. I don't know if you've seen them. They're on TV. You know, they say they're the snake gospel singers or charmers or something. They sing gospel, they preach the gospel, and they say they take up the snake. They're not living holy. They're preaching, they're singing, they're playing the guitars. You know, there's a Caucasian group. Well, one day the guy tied the rattlesnake playing with the rattlesnake around, and you know, he's a snake is a snake. And that snake bit him, and guess what? They were rushing, trying to, I don't know if he lived or if he died. I didn't get the results. But they were rushing, trying to get him out that little tent they had or little barren place they had that was having the gospel revival going on. See, but if you don't live right, you can't take up no snake. You can't take up no snake. God told Moses, take the snake. Take Aaron, take the snake by the tail. If you're living right, you can take the snake by the tail, by the head anyway. It can't touch you. But if you're not living right, see, we forget what God has done. And we go back into the same place doing the same thing. Here in the book of, we want to probably just thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the apostle and the bishop and the deacon and those that are coming on the line. And, Lord, we ask, God, that you would allow this word to go forth with power, with authority, O God, in the spirit of Almighty God. Let your spirit lead this word, O God. Let this word rest upon your wings, O God, as you go over the earth realm today, Lord, and carry this word. Cause the angels to carry it, O God, from house to house, from heart to heart, from mind to mind, O God, that it would bring difference in your church, O God, in Jesus' holy name. I'm going to give you a little bit of narration from my study manual, the Outline Bible, and then we're going to go into the Logos. We're coming out the Logos today. One of my computers are acting up, and I have to delete the Logos out of it. It's acting up crazy. Then I'll download it again. Now, here the Bible says that Simon Peter, chapter 3 of 2 Peter, chapter 3. And I was going to come in way down the chapter, but the Lord, as I was studying it on last night on the computer, the Lord said, start at verse 1. You know, I like, especially when the chapters are short, like this is only 18 verses, I like to work the whole verse. And we're talking to you today, or with you today, about how soon people forget. How soon people forget. Even some folk would tell you, Apostle, you know the truth. They will tell you how much they love you because you're cooking good fried chicken. You're making good fried fish. You got the good gumbo. And oh, my God, it just melts in your mouth. And you know how to make the punches that people like, the fruit punches and stuff. You know, I'm not, you know, not alcohol punches, fruit punches. We don't drink no alcohol anymore, only what we do for Holy Communion. But they say, oh, I love apostles. Oh, I love maybe those sister Linda. She's a good girl. Or she's a good woman. Oh, Brother James, oh, yeah, they would think. But you make one mistake. Make one mistake in the same folk that were loving you for, loving you to life. Oh, I don't like nobody love me to death. Don't love me to death. They love you to life, and the same people can't stand you in one day. It happens. It happens all the time. Even family members. If you can help them out at every chance that you get, they come by you. Sis, I need some help today. I need your help today. Oh, I can't pay my car note, sis. Sis, I can't turn on the electric. The water bill is overdue. Light bill is overdue. Everything is overdue. I don't have no food in the house for the kids. You say, okay, don't worry. I'm going to drive you over to Walmart. Let me go down here. I got a Walmart car. Let me go down to Stop and Shop or one of those places, the right place, the Food Right or whatever they call it. Go down. And you fill up the basket. Hundreds of dollars you bought them. Oh, I thank you so much. I can't praise God enough for you. Oh, they're saying all nice things about you, but let something come up short. And one day you say, well, God, I don't have nothing today. Truly, you don't have anything, but they think that we always have. And guess what happened? All that love and that and caring that they had for all the nice things they were saying to us and about us goes out the window. Peter is trying to remind these people. He's trying to remind them about the truth of God's word in the Old Testament. He began to remind them about the truth of God's word. God's word is true from beginning to end. Some people only just want to pick up the New Testament. They say we're a New Testament church, but we are an Old and New Testament church. We are the whole church. The church begins from Genesis. Not just here, we get into the New Testament in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. The church begins in Genesis. Hey, listen to what he says. Peter has written both his epistles admonishing his readers to remember the great truths. Number one, the truth spoken by the Old Testament prophets. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. The truth spoken by the New Testament apostles. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. Do see. Number three, the truth spoken by the Savior himself, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2b. It's right here in the Word. Peter, Simon Peter, is slave and apostle of Jesus Christ to those who have obtained faith equal invited to all by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May God, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Because his divine power has bestowed on us all things that are necessary for life and godliness. Now see, everything, God has placed everything upon us and in us. Listen to what Peter is saying. God has placed everything upon us and in us that is necessary for living godly, for living a godly life through the knowledge of the one who called us by his own glory and excellence of character, through which things he had bestowed on us his precious and very great promises, so that through these you may become sharers of the divine nature after escaping from the corruption that is in the world because of evil desire. Now, we have access to everything that glorifies God through Jesus Christ. We have access to the wisdom of God through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand this. I know Apostle Clay would say, I want you to get the understanding. Pastor Clay, she talked to me a couple of years. She talked to me about an hour before. She's going through some stuff. She's got a neighbor. A neighbor in her building is giving her hell. I mean, pure hell. And I said, well, she said, well, she moved downstairs. She's right underneath me now. I said, well, she's the right place. She's underneath your feet. So now you know how to pray. You know how to get angry and tell her some words that you didn't want to speak out your mouth. Now pray for her. Pray for her. She's underneath you. She's underneath your feet. God put her underneath your feet. Now you can pray for her now. No. God has given us everything. And he said, if we go back and look at the Old Testament, we begin to see how he has given Noah this message of righteousness to speak almost 100 years. Noah speaking the same thing to the people to get them to understand that God wants to save their lives, that they need to stop sinning, living a promiscuous lifestyle, and to give their life to Jehovah. But the people are busy drinking, doing the same thing over and over every day. They were doing, they had homosexual acts, they would have orgies, they would fornicate, adultery, all that stuff was going on in those times. And Noah was preaching like we preach 7 days a week here on Blog Talk Radio. Very seldom we are shut down. And they didn't listen. They keep doing the same thing. We find that the people today, and now we got the word by the New in the New Testament, according to the apostles' doctrine and Jesus' doctrine, which is the same, they preach the same thing. The kingdom of God is at hand. Righteousness, holiness. Without no man will see God. But the people said they don't want to hear it. We have our own life. We got our life. We can live our life. This is our life. We're going to live. Jesus, he says, and with knowledge, self-control, and with self-control, patience, endurance. And with patience, endurance, godliness. And with godliness, brotherly love. And with brotherly love, love. No, he's given us these. These are the attributes that God gave to us to live a holy life. Number one, the knowledge. Knowledge. That's his knowledge. The excellence of knowledge, of character. See, this is what, you know, you can say, well, I look good on the outside. I look good. I dress good. I drive a nice car. I live in a nice house. I'm in a great neighborhood. We got gated community. We have security guards. Oh, it's nice. You can't come into this community. But is the community holy? Is it a righteous community? Or you got protection. You got TV camera and all that stuff at the gate. They can see you from in the living room and dining room, bedroom anyway. They can see you when they look at the monitor. But are the people who live in them buildings, are they holy? Are they righteous? Are they pleasing God? You know? He says, applying all diligence, verse 5. And for this same reason, and by applying all diligence, supply with your faith excellence of character. See, your character will do stuff for you that nothing else can do. Money can't do. When you have a character, a good character, people talk about you all the way. Everybody, they say, oh, you can always trust. You can talk to Apostle Washington. You can talk to Bishop. They ain't going to tell nobody what you say. Because they're people that, they're righteous people. They're people that you can trust with your deepest secret. Your character speaks for itself. And with excellence of character, knowledge. Knowledge. He gives to Solomon wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And the knowledge, with knowledge, self-control. We learn how to control ourselves. Before, when you say something to me, when I was in the world and living the worldly lifestyle, I would flip out and want to go 100 with you in a minute. Today, I can walk away and take a deep breath. Let you kick up. Let you kick up and kick down. Get in my car and drive away. I don't have to create a ruckus with you. Because why? I have self-control. With self-control, patience. We need some patience. I remember when Apostle Washington first came to Block Talk Radio, he said, man, how she got so much patience? How she got so much? And then she said, well, I ain't really got all of it, but I know that she had a lot of patience, have a lot of patience. And I started developing patience. I realized that patience was so essential if you're going to continue to do what God called you to do. You have to have patience with people because everybody is not where we are. And you can do a lot for people, and the same people you do a lot for, boss, you know the truth, you know I'm not telling a lie. The same people that you do a lot for and be there for will not be there for you. They will not be there for you. And they're the same people that would make your name, put your name on the ground for everybody to talk, walk on it. In other words, they would say things about you that are not true. And understand? The same people that you try to help. Now listen to what he says. He says, and with patience endures godliness. And with godliness, brotherly love. And with brotherly love, love. And then he said love again. Now, he says, make your calling and election secure. What is he saying here? Peter warns them early in the text about scoffers. Let's make sure that we're on the right text because I want to make sure I'm in the right text because this seems like it's running a different way to me to what I'm looking for right here. Glory to God. I hope I'm in the right text because that's chapter 2. Let me go up here. Oh, my God, Pastor. Out of godness, he wanted that day. Let's go. Jesus. I was hitting chapter 2. But anyway, let's go back there. I'm going to bring that down because God wanted that in there so we can put it in there anyway. I didn't even realize I was on chapter 2. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, my God, Peter. Peter, I believe God wants us to put that in there. So let's give you a little bit more of that because I believe that's what he wanted. I just realized that it's flowing different. See, that's one thing with this Logos Bible. You got to pay attention to what's going on. Hey. Peter says here a very, very profound word that he, and then we're going to go to chapter 3. Hear the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Peter began to warn the people. He says, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but held them captive in Tartarus with chains of darkness and handed them over to be kept for judgment and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a proclaimer of righteousness and seven others, when he brought a flood on the world for the ungodly and condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction, reducing them to ashes, having appointed them as an example for those who are going to be ungodly, and rescue righteous Lot, worn down by the way of life of lawless persons in licentiousness, for that righteous man, as he lived among them day after day, was tormenting his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he was seeing and hearing. Then the Lord knows who to rescue. He knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to reserve the unrighteous to be punished at the day of judgment. And hear that. God knows how to rescue us. And in those that think that they're getting away, that are living an unrighteous lifestyle, he knows how to punish them. He knows how to reserve them for the day of judgment. They think they're getting away. Because they got a lot of money and they got a lot of materialistic things, they think they're getting away. They say they're drinking the most expensive wine. They're eating caviar and all that kind of stuff. All this stuff. But they're not getting away. Let's go down to, we'll come back to this another time. Let's go down. I want to go to chapter 3. And we Peter, this we go right here. There we are. That's where we want to be. Peter. He said, dear friends, verse 1, this is already the second letter I am writing to you, in both of which I am attempting to stir up your sincere mind by a reminder to remember the words proclaimed beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior, through your apostles. Above all, knowing this, that in the last days, scoffers will come with scoffing. See, these going to come, and they're going to come, and they're going to mock you. That's what scoffers are. They're mockers. They will mock you. They preaching the gospel every day, 7 days a week. They're on Blog Talk Radio. They don't have nothing else to do. Can't they go get a job? Can't they do something with their life? Ain't nobody listening to them. Well, I got news for you. There are thousands upon thousands of people that listen to us. We got a young lady in Africa, in Nairobi. She just make another CD. And we prophesied to these people when we were there. Now she's putting out a second CD. I was playing it this morning, Awesome God. And I said, well, it was beautiful. I'm gonna put it on the first tune tomorrow morning if the Lord save the scene. Listen what he says. Glory to God. Scoffers, they're gonna be scoffers. People are gonna mock us. They're gonna laugh at us because we have made it in our minds that we're gonna serve the Lord. Hell on high water. Falling according to their own desires and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things have continued just as they have been from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that the heavens existed long ago and the earth held together out of water and through water by the word of God. But by means of which things the world that existed at that time was destroyed by being inundated with water. In other words, flooded with water. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire. Now, you hear what I'm saying. God is saying to us that today, even as he destroyed the previous world or earth before with the flood, he said, now the present world is being preserved or kept for destruction by fire. Because why? The people that are in the world today have not taken notice or taken further from what they have seen and heard, take notice of it. I mean, you come up, you say, well, I tell my father says, my father was an alcoholic. I mean, he didn't take care of us. I had to look for him around Christmas time when he'd get his bonus from his job so that I can get some new clothes and look like the rest of the kids that the family was well-to-do in the neighborhood. And I want to have good clothes, nice clothes that I can go to close church on Christmas morning and then I can play with my friends and dress half decent. I had to look for them. So I had made up my mind I would never become an alcoholic because my father was an alcoholic. But instead of becoming an alcoholic, I became a cocaine addict. Do you hear me today? Because I didn't want to drink alcohol and burn up my liver like my father did to his liver. But I became a cocaine addict, and thank God that he didn't allow me to have such an overdose on cocaine and burst my heart. I went up one night on the 13th floor in Alexandria, but God saved my life. He brought me back. He didn't let my heart burst. But here he says, listen. Now, verse 8. Now, dear friends, do not let this one thing escape your notice, that one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord is not delaying the promise, as some consider slowness, but is being patient towards you, because he does not want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will disappear with a rushing noise, and the celestial bodies, the angels, will be destroyed by being burnt up. The celestial bodies. This is not talking about us, our bodies, but we're not celestials. These angels. These got to be bad angels. But he says, and the earth and the deeds done on it will be disclosed. Because all these things are being destroyed in the whole. All these things, let's go by him. Because all these things are being destroyed in this way. What sort of people must you be in holy behavior and godliness while waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by being burnt up, and the celestial bodies will melt. The celestial bodies now is really talking about not, I just got it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. And forgive me for putting this inside the mirror. But the celestial bodies is talking about the stars, the moon, and the sun. This is all this stuff is going to be consumed by fire. All this stuff going to burn. The stars going to fall from the sky. The moon going to turn red, blood red. The star, the sun going to become dark. And everything going to be blocked or burn up. These are celestial bodies. So I want to correct that. I just caught it in my spirit. Just dropped it in my spirit. It's not written in the letter, but it's, you know, God just give it to me. When I say celestial, I thought he was speaking of the angels, but no, he's talking about the firmament, the stuff in the, and you know, the stars and the moon and the sun. All this stuff could be destroyed because there's not going to be any need for it. You understand? Because God himself, Jesus himself, going to light up the heaven. You're going to need no sun. You're not going to need any moon. You don't need any stars. He's going to be the brightness of everything. Hallelujah. So, Alexa, thank you, Holy Spirit. And he said, all this stuff is going to melt as they are consumed by heat. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens, plural, and a new earth, singular, in which righteousness resides. See, we're looking for this place. We are expecting this place where there's no longer going to be sinning. There's no longer going to be need for corruption because everything's going to be purified. New heavens, new earth. Hallelujah. And Jesus, the King of Kings, and the chief ruler over everything, ruling everything. Now, Peter warns that discomfort will appear during the last days. And they will falsify the facts concerning the future fire judgment. They will say Jesus promised to come back. Did he? Then where is he? This is what the folk are saying. They will deliberately forget the facts concerning the past flood judgment. See, we just had Ian, I think, the call in. The Hurricane Ian. I mean, I was just looking at something on Facebook last night. How this still part of Florida looked like a tornado came through it. I mean, buildings still tore up. Boats ripped in pieces. Trees are out over the ground. But it's after a few days, only the people that lost loved ones and lost homes and cars and stuff are remembering that stuff. The other folk that they live the fast lifestyle of the world, oh, they want to go back to the club. They want to make sure the club is open and everything, the entertainment is going on. Is the drug dealer back in business? They want to know all that stuff because that's what moves their spirit, what moves their body, their mind. So they don't remember to just face a terrible hurricane that took lives, tornadoes that came through, earthquakes that shake the city. They don't remember that stuff after a few days. How soon people forget the destruction that takes place. I remember when we was living in Virginia, excuse me, we lived about a mile and a half or 2 miles, if that far, from the Pentagon. And when the plane struck the Pentagon, oh, my Lord, it seemed like the house we were in, little brick house, shook. And that Sunday, all this church, Holy Scripture Church, was packed. I mean, there was standing room only. We never had that much people in that church. Every pew was filled. People were standing around the wall, like we call wallflowers, leaning up. 2 Sundays after, you could have come in and get a seat anywhere you want. Even the pulpit was full that day. That first Sunday. Next 2 Sundays, the ministers didn't show up. Congregational members didn't show up. Why? They forget that the destruction that just hit the United States of America. You know, as part of immigration, they talk is one of the questions that they have there. What happened on September 11th? That's one of the questions. Terrorists attacked the United States of America is the answer. But they forget. People forget. And Peter is here trying to bring us back to this place that we remember how destructive the flood was because of sin. How God's anger was kindled against the inhabitants of the earth. The ones he created. The God. The loving God. That was I don't believe God would send me to hell. No, God is not going to send you to hell. Your sin is going to send you to hell because you are promiscuous and you don't want to stop. You don't want anyone to tell you about your sin. Because you're your own woman, you're your own man, and you're going to do what you want to do anyway. Not even the supreme God, the sovereign God, sovereign Lord can tell you to stop sinning. You're going to do what you should call you. This, I'm my own person. The facts of this destruction, the same God who once sent the flood will one day send fire. We must understand that. It's in the Bible. It's right here, this chapter here of 2 Peter chapter 3. The same God that sent the flood will one day send fire. We don't want to obey. The fury of his destruction, this destruction, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it will utterly consume both earthly and heavenly elements. The timelessness of God is dead to him is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. The tenderness of God, he is patient, not wanting anyone to perish. God is long-suffering, he's patient, he's compassionate. He don't want not even the gangbanger to be lost to hell. He wants to still give them, that's why we got to reach out to those that is living contrary to God's word. We were not always teaching and preaching God's word. But somebody preached to us. Somebody prayed for us. We got to pray for those people that are living on the streets, living out of cardboard boxes, shooting heroin. I look at this woman and say, there was the mayor went downtown Boston and she was investigating all of the people and they were moving them from one place. The people with the bad people, you know, sleeping in tents and they got everything that they have. They're having a shopping cart from the... You know, they're having a shopping cart, and they roll up their tent or their sleeping bag, and they move from one place to go to another place. Then they come back. And one Caucasian lady, she was tall and slender. But as you look at her face, you could tell that she's a heroin addict because her cheekbones was sticking out. Her jaw was just dropped in. There was no flesh, just skin. You could look and see her eyes drop in. The eyes are dropped back in the sockets. And I was just saying, God, have mercy. How can people be so lost? But the addiction, you know, you got to think. The addiction is so bad that the addiction is like speaking to them all the time. They don't want to get high. But this thing inside of them that's craving and eating up on the inside, that the only thing that makes them feel a little better for a few minutes is that drug. And they will go back to it. They'd be good for 1 minute, for half an hour. But as soon as they get some heroin, methamphetamine, cocaine or heroin, so they change. They change from knowing that they can talk to you sensible. But as soon as they get the heroin, they're on a different plane. It changed. It changed. And God is saying we need to pray for these people. God is dedicated. In light of all this, two biblical writers admonish believers to live godly and holy lives. Peter's exhortation in chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, and verse 14, 17, 18. Grow in favor with the Lord. Paul's exhortation in chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. The Lord is waiting to return so that no more people will have time to be saved. The world, the future earth will become the home of universal righteousness. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Let me see what's that. Yeah, a long time. Romans chapter 1. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21. You know, this is the book that, one of the books that a lot of people don't like to talk about, because this book is very offensive, this particular book, to the people who live in contrary to God. When you talk about the figure that you don't care for them, you don't like them, you're homophobic and all this, because this book talks about this lifestyle of the people of the world that live in that contrary to God. Here in chapter 1 of Romans, the Greek word used here, theotis, is found only here in this New Testament. It is used to summarize God's divine attributes, especially those that can be observed through creation. Since God made such attributes discernible, people have no excuse for rejecting him. Here, verse 20 says, for from the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, both his eternal power and deity, are discerned clearly, being understood in the things created, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their reasoning, and their senseless hearts were darkened. The universal revelation of God's power and deity in creation means that no one can claim ignorance for failing to honor God as God. God's wrath is therefore just. They do not honor him as God. Knowledge of God typically includes recognition of his sovereignty, which results in worship. They don't worship him. Here, people fail to worship God or acknowledge him as creator despite their knowledge of him. When people look at the stars, these stars are so gigantic. If you could get into a rocket and have the money to pay the flight to let them fly you up into the heavens, and you could look out the window and see the size of the stars, you would be amazed how big they are. If you can really truly see the size of the moon and get close to it, it's big from down here. I know it's much bigger to get up there. You'll be amazed. You know, man could not put that stuff in the, and they have no strings, they don't have no wires tied to the stars or to the moon or to the sun, but yet still they stand right where God wanted them to stand. They move around the earth how he wants them to move around the earth. Because he's God. We don't have an excuse of knowing that only a God, a supreme being, a sovereign Lord, one that sits high and sees low, the all-powerful, everlasting Father, is the only one that could do this, could put the stars in the firmament one by one. The only one that could call light out of darkness, he did. But yet still, folk don't want to give him honor, don't want to praise him. Let's go to 1 John, the epistle of John. 1 John. Let's turn this. Yes, glory to God. How soon people change. This is where you got to put your hope and trust in Jesus Christ. Not in man, not in woman, not in nobody. Put your hope and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Husband will leave, wife will leave, children will leave. Sons and daughters will leave you, brothers and sisters will leave you. But God, he will never leave you. He never forsake you. Of course, that's what he says. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John. He says this. That which was from the beginning, verse 1, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested on the earth. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Listen to what John is saying. He says, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. In other words, your joy is going to become full, overflowing, when you get an understanding, when you get the true understanding of who created all things, who made all things, who have done all things for all good. We got to get the knowledge, the understanding. This is also in John chapter 16, verse 24. Verse 5 says, this message is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and that in him is no darkness at all. We got to get to this place. In him, there's no darkness at all. So we want to get to this. Darkness represents sin. I want you to understand this. It represents sin. We want to get to this place in him that sin has no power and no authority over us. Our body, our flesh is still going to be have the sinful nature, but we don't have to activate sin in our daily walk. That's why Paul said we got to cast down all thoughts and imagination. Why? Because sin don't only come in action. I want you to get this. I hear you, Apostle Clay. You got to get this. Sin don't only come in action. It comes in thoughts. Bishop says he can't do anything to you, but he can show enough for the thought in your mind. God says in Genesis chapter 1, we should go right there, Genesis chapter 1. I'm in King James Version. We're talking about how soon people forget. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God did this. Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. You hear what God did? God said, let there be light. And he command light. Excuse me. He command light to come forth. He said, let there be light, and there be light. I find out that a lot of times that we are praying and we are fasting and we are doing this and doing that. But we don't use the command. We don't use command meaning authority. We don't use the authority to bring forth these things that we want to come. When God said, I give you power and authority. He said that in Luke chapter 9. He gave us power and authority to command, to control, to cause things to happen. Verse 6 says, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Listen to what it says, the waters from the waters. The firmament in the midst of the waters is going to be the land. Okay, land. And God made the firmament and divided the waters, which was under the firmament, from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together under one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Everything. We forget how quick we forget that it's God, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, who commanded all this. Go to Romans chapter 14, King James Version. We forget all this because now we are doing well. We have a good job. We got degrees. We are Dr. John Peter Theology. And we forget that God is the one who created everything, who formed everything, who spoke everything. He didn't have to get a shovel. He didn't have to get a hammer. He didn't have to get nails. He just spoke it because he's that powerful. He's that great. He's that awesome. He spoke it into existence, and he gave us power. And we said, oh, man, I just gonna pray this thing. I'm going to pray this because I know how to pray. But there's no faith behind it. So we pray. We sound good when we are praying with our brothers and sisters. And soon we start praying. We go back into a deep thought, wondering if it's going to really happen for us. People are praying for stuff, but not believing that it's going to happen. We don't pray with expectation. I know when I was dealing with this immigration crazy stuff, and I was sitting there, and then when I went there, they said, well, you got to get this papers. And I passed everything, every test. At my old age, I remember stuff good. I passed all the writing tests, the reading tests, the questions of the history of the United States and the world and all this stuff that they were calling about, and the wars and all this stuff, that they, and the different generals and stuff. I passed everything, 100%. And then they said, well, you had this problem back in 1988 and 1995. Two problems. So I had to go, had to come home. And we got on the phone and we got in the computer and we started researching and we sent in text messages, sending emails to this court and the next court in Virginia and talking to this one and trying to get the information come to us, registered and notarized and everything. Only one place we had to pay $5. The other place we had to pay nothing. But anyway, when the stuff come, I said, well, no, honey, this is very delicate. And I got to tap into the heavenlies for this one. So I hold the papers in my hand, and the left hand, papers in the left hand, I lay the right hand on them. I said, honey, I got to pray for these before we send these out back to immigration. I got to pray over these. I got to cover these with the blood of Jesus Christ and send them out. And after I finished prayer, I said, put it in the envelope. You can take it to the post office now. It's good. And she started worrying. I said, don't worry. We didn't get a no, so it must be yes. She started, well, why we haven't heard anything? I'm on my way coming in from work. No, they're going to send me a letter. So, okay, but God had already ordained it to happen. They called me on my cell phone. And, you know, I play my music. I don't hear too much, but I had the watch that's tied into my phone, the Galaxy. And that was, I could hear that loud. And she said, well, sister, today you need to come for your old sermon. And I couldn't tell my wife. I said, I'll tell you when I get home. This is what God does. When we speak, we got to speak as though God is speaking through us. And in fact, he is, because he's the spirit that's in us. Because John says that great is he, you are God, little children. For you have overcome them, for great is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So he's speaking through us. We got to believe when we open our mouth to declare and decree something that God is speaking. God is on it if it's good. God is not going to honor something when you open your mouth to speak something that is unholy or unrighteous, that is sinful. He's not going to honor it. You're going to honor it. Your faith going to honor it. But God wants us to speak. Here in Romans chapter 14, let's do a couple more scriptures, then we're going to get it here Sunday anyway. And let's go. Romans chapter 14, verse 7, he says, none of us liveth to himself. No man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. We belong to God. Even that sinful man that out there living a promiscuous lifestyle, habitual sin life, sinful, he belongs to God. You got me? Let's go to Ezekiel. Keep your hand in Roman. Ezekiel chapter 18. Go over there. Because I know you're looking at me now. You got your glasses turned on sideways. Saying, what are you saying at all? Even the sinner man belongs to God. Look, go over here. Let's go over here. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 18. And now we come back. We don't have this on the paper, but we got to go with the Holy Spirit said. That's why we started to show ourselves approved. Here, Apostle, share that scripture. Yeah, there too. We got to start to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, right, but writing the word of truth. Listen to what he said. Look what he said. He says, Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4 says, behold, all souls are mine as the soul of the Father. So also the soul of the Son is mine. He said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It's right there in Ezekiel. So even the sinner man belongs to God. The devil did not blow into the sinner man nostrils. God did. He didn't get life till God blew into his nostrils. The same thing that happened in the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. Here he says, for to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Sometimes we look at people and we thinking that we more than them because we the preacher. I see preachers don't want to talk to congregational members. They pass by them like they're so high and mighty. You have experienced some of that stuff. I've experienced it. You know, they said because they preached the word and they were so energetic. Now they come down and people now put them on a pedestal. Oh, the bishop was so good, man. Oh, the pastor was so, man, he was awesome today, man. Did you hear him? And they pass by people. They don't even greet them. And they go to the office and sit down. They act like they're so mighty inside the office. God says right here. Listen to me, man. I'm telling you, this is such a... Here he said, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Why reduce your brother to nothing? Because he don't come to church. He don't go to church. He's not part of the church, not the building. No, we're praying for our brothers and sisters. So then he says here, in verse 11, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. There's no escape. We have not reached perfection. There's still some areas in our life that we come up short. That's why we forget so easily. Quick. How soon people forget. We forget where we were, where God brought us from. That's why they tell, don't share your testimony. The devil, excuse me, the devil wants you and I to forget what God has done for us. Do you know that? That's why he uses some preachers to tell you, don't share your testimony. Stop sharing your testimony. People are going to look at you bad. They're going to look at you like you still doing the same thing. No. They ought to be looking at you that you overcome. That's how they should be looking at you. But these preachers are working for the devil and don't know that they're working for the devil. Telling you, brother, don't share your testimony. Don't tell nobody what God has done for you. Don't tell the world where God has brought you from. You just go up there, preach a message, and just get the check and go. Jesus said this. Paul says, so that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or is an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Judge this. This is a powerful text, man. This is one you can carry all the way through. Don't put a stumbling block in your brother's path. Some folks think they got it together. Let us go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy, I'm jumping around these scriptures that I got here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 15 and 16. Chapter 6. This scripture is also tied in with Ephesians chapter 6. But let's go first. He says, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Jesus is the only one that stands in immortality. In other words, he has no sin in him. He is clean. He is without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we got to live in a way where we don't forget what God has done for us. What he's doing for us even right now. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. A couple more scriptures I'll give you. Then we'll come over here. Matthew 24. Verse 30. So they shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds and heaven of heaven, and with power and with great glory. Daniel 7 and 13, Revelation 1 and 7. Now, the time is coming. We as believers, this is where this message is coming. We have to remember that we have a hope. We have an everlasting hope. Our hope is to live or die and rise and see Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. So in order to see him as Lord and Savior, we got to live that lifestyle that warranty of seeing him as Lord and Savior. You hear me today? Second Thessalonians. But since we're in Revelation, we're in Matthew chapter 24, let's go to verse 4. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many, verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Jesus says, nations are going to come against nations. They're going to have kingdoms against kingdoms. Jesus said that you must be prepared. This is what he's saying. That you and I, we must be prepared. We must be ready. Expecting these things to happen at any time. America has 20,000 soldiers. People girded up for war. For World War III in Romania. In Romania, you're not hearing that there's fake news. They're not telling us that. You see, they want to go to war so they have a nuclear massacre will destroy all the ordinary people. People like Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg and all these folks. They have bunkers in different nations. They have bunkers even right here in America that they can go in. They wear them underneath the ground. And they got food and they got all this medicine and everything stored up that can sustain them for a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years. So they're not telling us these things. But thank God that we got to be prepared spiritually, that even if we're wiped out by nuclear weapons, that we're going to see our Jesus. They're only going to kill our body, but they can't kill our soul. Jesus said these things are going to happen. I heard a man talking last night. He said that America has 20,000. He goes all over the world speaking to different to prime ministers and presidents and all these people. He says that America has 20,000. America got 20,000 Air Force and Army and all this stuff done in the Romania. They're getting ready to go to war. They ain't telling us anything. We got to pray. Go. Yeah, we got to pray. And we got to stay faithful to our Savior. We got to be who he said we are. And we got to pray for people that more people will come to salvation. More people will get the word of God. That more people will wake up to righteousness. More people will wake up to holiness. More people will say, I want to live for Christ. And if I die, I die for him. More people, we got to pray this day. Hallelujah. Don't sit down on our hands and think we're going to live in this earth we went forever. This is not our home. We passing through. Hallelujah. This is why there are folks that have so much money. You know, they think that the bunkers going to save them forever. The bunkers going to only keep them for a short time. Hallelujah. The bunkers going to only keep them for a short time. I want you to hear what I'm saying. The bunkers that they have, these big bunkers, they got 2-3 feet thick, three feet thick wall, you know, that they're going to be in these wall bunkers and that they're going to stay in there for, they say, 18 months to 3 years. They got food, they got medication. Hallelujah. They even got weapons down there underneath the ground, okay? They built some in Brazil. United States built some in Brazil, sort of. They got some in all these different countries, so if they're in these other countries and things go off, they can go to the bunkers. They got bunkers in a lot of different countries. Hallelujah. This is no joke. This is a real thing that I'm telling you. I'm not trying to make nobody afraid, but I want you to keep praying and say, Lord, I'm going to live for you. And if I die, I die for you. You've got to have this thing in your mindset. Your mindset has got to be in your mind. Yes, yes, yes. So he's saying this thing. He's saying that all these things are going to happen. So we have to stay ready. We got to stay ready. Let's go to, glory to God. Let's go to, my God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let us go over to Jesus. What am I looking at here? No, Lord. Let's go over to Jude. One book over here. Jude, let's pull up a couple of verses, just a couple of quick verses. 8 to 10. Jude. It's only one book. Small book. Edward says, likewise also those filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. You see, they speak of us. We are God's people, and they speak negative about us. But Judas said to us, he said to us, don't speak like them. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 2:10. He said, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he destroyed about the body of Moses, thus not bring against him a railing accusation, but said the Lord rebuke you. No, he didn't dare to challenge the devil. Devil got a lot of power. Our angel, Michael, has got some power too, but the devil got some power. So he didn't even come to Satan. He just said, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Listen to what God is saying. When we are speaking negative of dignitaries, we are corrupting ourselves. We're corrupting ourselves. Hallelujah. We ought to be praying for those folk instead of speaking evil of them. One more scripture, Brother Deacon, Bishop, and I'm going to get out of here. Let us go to 2 Thessalonians, and I'm finishing here. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. God is trying to get us somewhere. How quick people forget. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. People forget so quickly of what is going on. We had the virus, and now Bill Gates is on YouTube talking about the virus that he is having done, and he's telling that the netavirus is coming soon because the population must be controlled. The earth has too many people on the earth, and they don't have enough food to sustain the world. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's start at verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or by trouble, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter, as for us, as that the day of the Lord of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This is the man of sin, talking about the devil, the Antichrist, and he's the one of perdition. He shall, and who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. See, the devil wants to sit in that place that only God is ordained to sit in, showing himself as God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. All only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. You have the Antichrist going to have powers and lying wonders. But we're going to stop there. Father God, we thank you and praise you, God, for the word. And Lord, we pray that we have said something, done something, released some word that would help somebody to make adjustment with their lifestyle when they hear this word. We thank you, oh Father. We ask you to bless the hearers, bless the doers. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Bishop, you can come and do a prayer of salvation, and then we'll open the line for anyone that want to come on and say something, or we'll get out of here.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God be all the honor, God be all the honor, glory, and praise. And remember, people of God, we must praise the Lord. We must praise Him. We must pray, fast, and praise God. And there's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. You know, and any one of us, and I say us because we're all one family, any one of us, how many of us have slipped away from the faith, we need to come back. Don't delay. Don't hesitate. And we need to love one another as He has loved us. There's so many things that go on each and every day that is ungodly. You know, but as Apostle was preaching today, as he said about when he had 9/11, that, you know, the church had standing room only. And about the second week, the church was empty. Nobody had gone. You know, hey, we got over that initial shock of being attacked. And instead of praying that we'd never get attacked again, they continue to pray. No, they prayed. They were afraid. Oh, I might lose my life. I might lose my home. I might lose my family. No, they prayed, and God heard their prayers and answered. But He still wants to be praised. He still wants to be worshipped. Praise You, Lord God Almighty. We worship You, Almighty God. There's none like You. And as You said, Apostle, there's no strings, no wires attached to the sun, the moon, and the stars. They're put up in heaven by God, but God Himself. People, when are we going to wake up? Wake up. God is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Now, for those who have backslidden, I strongly urge you to come back. Come back home. Prodigal sons and daughters, come back home. Do it now. Don't hesitate. And people of God, brand new Christians, brand new believers, first time people on the line, or maybe you've been on the line before, and you say, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I'm thinking about it, and thinking to yourself, that's fine, thinking to yourself. But the Word of God says in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, and the first thing says in verse 8 is, what does it say? Well, it says the Word is near you. It's in your mouth. If it's in your mouth, that means you have to speak it. The only way you're going to put it in the atmosphere that you're receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you must believe in your heart. Believe in your heart that Jesus died for our sins and our iniquities. And you must believe that God raised Him from the dead. And you must truly believe this. Don't just say it and it's just to repeat what's written down. Speak it out loud. Put it in the atmosphere, because the enemy can not and read your thoughts. He can only inject thoughts into your minds. Apostle mentioned it. And I say it almost every day, that the enemy does not want, he can't even guess if you're going to or if you're not going to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But don't keep him guessing. Tell him, I'm going to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. Speak it. Speak it out of your mouth. Put it in the atmosphere. I urge you to do it now. Now, Father, you know, say, Jesus, I want You to be my Savior. You are my Savior. You're my only way into heaven. I want to be with You for all eternity. And the only way is for me to speak it and mean it from my heart. And all the way through that, You are my Savior. And I believe that Jesus, You were sent by God Himself to save the world. And in the book of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Read it for yourself, people. If you have a Bible, read it. John, Book of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Hallelujah. Yourself. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believed on him might be saved, or shall be saved. Hallelujah. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him, Jesus Christ, the world might be saved. And he is the only way. In the book of Romans, chapter 2, verses chapter 2, verses 38 through 40, Peter said it. And also, if you've made that commitment to God, you must repent. And repentance is not returning to the way you live, whatever lifestyle you lived. Change that lifestyle. If it's against God's will, don't live that way. You know, change that lifestyle. The only way you can do it is confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And repent. And if you have done that, repent, okay, you are free of sin. Your sins are forgiven you. You're now saved. And your next step is to be baptized. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall be saved. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and it would be well with you and for your family. So you see, God gave us a way through Jesus Christ, and even that's for us to entice our families to follow our lead and do what's right. Accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Speak to your children, your family members, your husband, your wife, your parents, your grandparents, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, whatever the case might be. You know, cousins, nieces, nephews, uncles, invite them all to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because now that you have done this, you are an ambassador in Christ. You are a recruiter for Christ's army, just as I am. Please, please, I urge you to please accept Jesus as your Savior today. And, you know, several years ago, the CB radio was a thing. Everybody had one. And nobody was mic shy. You know, you couldn't see people in other states, didn't know them, didn't know their names, but you were talking on that CB radio. Well, do it now. Make a comment about the sermon that you heard today, because Apostle Calendar went from Genesis all the way through the Bible. Pretty much he hit up on a whole bunch of scriptures in every book, just about. I know he went through Ezekiel, Ephesians, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, 1st and 2nd Peter, Revelation, Genesis. Oh, for Christ's sakes. He went through the Bible pretty much. So you do it. You can do that. You're authorized to do that. God gave us that word so that we might be saved by reading that word, to show yourself approved. And let the redeemed say that they are. Your redeemed say that you are. Speak it. Let the enemy know that you're not in his camp anymore. You're not bound by him anymore. And be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says in the book of Acts, chapter 2. And also in the book of Acts, chapter 4, you go from in chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. And you can read and see where it says, there's no other name mentioned. There's no other name mentioned from heaven that mankind might be saved. No other name except Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. So do it for yourself. Do it for your eternal salvation. And do it for your friends and, like I said, even your enemies. Pray for them. Pray for our officials. Because we all fall short of the glory of God. No matter what position you hold, we fall short of the glory of God. But we were made from the primal dust of the earth. You know, and We're not perfect. I know I'm not squeaky clean. I am now, but my lifestyle wasn't. You know, I did a lot of things that I shouldn't have done, which was against God's law. But I'm here to say, hey, I give my testimony. I was an alcoholic. No, a drunk. I got to keep changing that. I was a drunk. I never went to meetings. Alcoholics, they go to meetings. They still drink, but they go to meetings. I was a drunk. I admitted drunk. I was a whoremonger. You know, I even stole things. You know, I talked that whole dirty jokes. I did all kinds of things that wasn't right. God, I have to ask him for forgiveness, and I know he has. He's thrown it in the sea of forgetfulness. And every day, I think about, Lord, if I did something wrong today, please forgive me. Please forgive me if I said something wrong. Forgive me, Father. For I have sinned against you. And that's not the way for a Christian to live, you know, continually denying Christ. I'm not denying him, but I'm just saying that, you know, we fall short of the glory. And as soon as we figure, oh God, I sinned, forgiveness. God said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Read that word and bless you. Bless you. Bless your family. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have a pleasant and great day. And if you will make a comment, please do. It's so encouraging to whoever's teaching and preaching. It's encouraging to them. And it's encouraging to others who are on the line. And even it's encouraging to you. Make you want to go and preach and teach. Learn the word. God bless each and every one of you. Amen. Apostle, it's back to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Bishop. Thank you. God bless you and keep you. God cause his face to shine upon you. God give you peace. Thank you for that prayer of salvation. You always like love that. You know, we can't go without it. Whenever we got an opportunity to have it, we want to have it in. So we thank God. Yes, thank God for you all. And I went on, Bishop. Deacon Fraser was on the line for about 35 minutes. The line was on, but Deacon Fraser wasn't there. I don't know where he was. So I jumped off.
Must have been in the tub.
I know.
That's his favorite place.
He turned on the light and then jump off and go somewhere. And so,
yeah,
I was there for a while. I was there laying on the bed with my Bluetooth in and don't come on at all.
Pastor Linda came on the line and she said, "My goodness, you know, what's her name? Sister Brown." Evangelist Brown.
Evangelist Brown.
Yeah. And she, you know, she was on the line and he wasn't there. You know? Apostle Linda wasn't there.
Yeah, I think she was coming on last night too. Apostle Claire told me, because she called me yesterday and talked for a long time. She told me that she was going on the line too, but Deacon was in there.
Apostle Clay, did she come on?
Nobody. No, Apostle preached Friday.
Yeah.
It was a sermon.
Yeah, but who else was on the line that you know of?
Evangelist Brown claimed that she.
Yeah, she was on.
She was trying to get on, she said, last night.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about last night. You're talking about last night.
He got off early. When I came on the line, it wasn't even on.
Apostle Callinger just said that it was up for about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And you know, Deacon decided he wasn't going to show up. I don't know, something's going wrong. I'm not condemning him.
Did he show up again last night?
Yes, that's what he said.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know, because when I got on the line, I thought everybody got on and maybe Apostle said something, you know, did a little sermon and they got off. Because I didn't get on.
No, I went on there. Apostle stayed on there for about 35 minutes. And the line was on, but there wasn't no deacon.
Is he? And he's not on the line this morning.
No, he's on the line.
He's not there. Oh, he's on the line now. Yeah.
His phone is on the line, but he may not be there. But his phone's on the line.
Well, I asked him. I texted after I got off. When nobody came on, I said, "What happened? What happened?" And I didn't get a response. And last night I texted him again and no response. So
no, I went on there. I left Nancy hopefully in the living room. I told her, I said, I got to go on because my deacon is on. So she was watching some show I was watching with her, something caller ID or something. She was watching something, you know, people getting killed and the police trying to find the criminals and stuff like that. So I told her, I'm tired of watching that stuff, you know, all these people massacre and stuff. I said, I'm going in the bedroom and get on the line with my brother deacon. And I went on there and they said, well, if you're the host, you're something like that. And I said, well, but I know the line was on. And I could hear nothing down here, nothing at all.
Mm.
So anyway, he'll get it right because
I pray that he
because I told him
he's
before
the line on
if you
the
come
line.
On the line, yeah, if you come on the line, there's nobody on the line. Prayer, and then close the line. Prayer and then close the line. You don't have
That's
to get
all.
There wearing and
prayer
get all upset because
line.
Nobody's on the line. Prayer and then close the line. Somebody might hear. You know, if
That's
I come
right.
on here and nobody's here, I'm still going to do the sermon. I'm still going to do the sermon. If it's my day to preach, I'm going to still do the sermon. And when I finish,
Amen.
I pray. If you're not here to do the prayer of salvation, I do a prayer of salvation and I close out. Because that's my assignment.
Mm.
You know, that's my assignment. You're not saying, well, if nobody coming, so I'm not going to preach. Well, why God call you? You know, he called you to deliver a message.
Yeah.
The middle man going to come to the house and say, well, they know about the house, so I'm not going to leave the message. The only way he's not going to leave that tape, that's the letters, if it needs to require the signature. But if it don't require a signature, that me and man going to leave it right in the box. He's going to leave it in the box. He go.
After all of that.
And that's what we got to do.
He wasn't on the line. But then he called me. He called
me. Oh, yeah,
me.
Yeah.
He called
after we all got off the line. He called the apostle after he got off the line.
11. And I was like, by
hey,
the time this
night. Friday
night,
I called Deacon. You know, while you were talking, Pastor, not crossing you, while you were talking on Friday night, I called Deacon to let him know we was online. I let the phone ring for a long time. And then the phone said, the person you trying to call, not answering, and the voicemail box is filled.
They don't have a voicemail.
So I couldn't leave him a message. So, and I hang up. He didn't even answer for. I know he saw my number.
And then last night he called me at 25 minutes to one.
That was this morning.
This morning.
25 minutes to one.
Well, I don't know. We prayed. That the Lord picks whatever it is, you know, that's going on. Cause that's too nice straight. That's not like him. I mean, I know he's gone to sleep on the line before, but this is unusual.
Well, he's on the line now. He hasn't commented and said amen or anything. You know, I don't know. It's unlike him. Well, okay, Pastor.
No, I don't know. I pray that he get it together, because people are looking and listening. This is the time that every prayer warrior need to be praying. I mean, the time that we're in, every prayer warrior need to be praying. It is serious time. I'm telling you, Apostle, it is serious. Because we can be in World War III at any time.
Anytime.
You let me go on YouTube and research it for yourself. We got over 20,000 soldiers in Romania, which is close to Russia. It's right next door to Russia. Okay?
Yeah.
We got over 20,000 ready to go to war. They're not trying to talk peace.
No, they're not.
I wish I could remember that man's name. He talked to all the presidents. He talked to all the presidents. He'd go and he'd go to Israel, talk to the prime minister, he'd go down to Russia. All they said, he'd go all over the world. He says, right now, our government should be trying to speak peace instead of trying to fuss with Putin. I mean, you talk about nuclear weapons, you know?
Nuclear weapons.
The nuclear weapons ain't gonna save no poor people. Now the poor people gonna die. Them people, when they get ready to head off, they're going down to their bunkers. And the man was saying, he said they got food to last them 18 to 3 years, from anywhere from 18 months to 3 years. They got food, they got medicines and all that stuff in the bunkers. So they don't care nothing about us, the people. That's what the man said. They don't care nothing about the people. That's why they're pressing for a nuclear war.
Let me tell you something.
You're so foolish. They can't hide from God. You got your bunker. God knows where the bunker is. You destroy the bunker.
Even the United States got bunker, busted.
When that mountain comes tumbling down, when those mountains come tumbling down like the Lord I saw in the dream, and it's just mountains are supposed to come down. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
they're not going up in the mountains. They're digging down in the ground.
No, what I'm saying is when those mountains come down, people are going to be destroyed. Many are going to die.
Oh, yeah,
and
definitely.
There's no way in the world a bunker is going to survive that. There's no way in the world. They can't survive it. God is everywhere. God can do anything. They can't stop God. It's supposed to,
that's
because
right.
They don't know. They cannot stop God. The only thing that was that will stop the devastation is
prayer
and repentance. Like Apostle was preaching, repentance. That's what the message is all about, repentance. And letting them know that God is not playing.
He is in charge.
He's in charge.
They don't
no
want
they
want to control everything.
Is your bunker gonna save you?
3 foot thick bunker? They got some kids' heads. Firecrackers that could break a 2 foot bunk, you know, it's some powerful weapons. I'm telling you, America has. When I was in the service, it had bunker busters. They'll knock a hole in the ground 20 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, a 2 foot bunker ain't gonna help.
No,
it is. No, and that was back then. I'm talking 40 years ago.
Not only that,
we've
shown you the fire under the ground.
Amen.
Fire under the ground.
That's right.
You think when that comes, it's going to destroy everything.
Well, you hear what the apostle said today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God destroyed the world by water. This time, it's going to be by fire.
That's right.
And he already told us that.
But he's letting us know the fire is everywhere. It's on top of the ground, underneath the ground. It's everywhere. You cannot escape.
We don't know how God's going to do it. He may just let the center of the world explode and turn into fire, and it's over. It's over.
But even before all of the earth is destroyed by fire,
yeah,
God is still going to destroy it. Wherever they think they're hiding, guess what?
Oh.
They cannot hide. God will burn that.
You know, my grandma used to say it, and I think it was Martin the Vandellas came out with a song. It said, "Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide."
That's right. That was an old song, Bishop. That was an old song. That was an old song when I was a little boy, I tell you. I remember it like yesterday. Yeah.
Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Right. I think it was Martin the Vandellas. I'm not somebody out of Motown. But they were thinking about man, you know. But still, that my grandma was saying that before Martha and the Vandellas was born, I guess. I don't know. She was saying that when we were children, you know, small children. I don't know where to run, where to hide. And people go be hiding from the Lord, and it ain't gonna happen. And she used to say that the rocks, that people go hide behind the rocks, they fall on them. Fall on them because of their world.
You know, when we But anyway,
thank you. Well, praise the Lord. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. You got
and
out.
I just pray people will listen. And the apostle is saying, be prepared. Prepare yourself. Be ready. Stay ready.
Amen.
For the Lord's return. Stay ready because, and stay prayerful. And like the apostle was saying, every prayer walk
Amen. Yeah, you should have been praying. Amen. Yeah. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, my Lord. There's so much more coming.
No fear. No fear. No fear.
Yeah, you know, I know we'll forget very easy.
We know what's going to
mm-hmm.
happen.
We're not going to be afraid because we know we have the Lord. And we already know.
That's right.
We already know what's coming. We know we don't know exactly, but we know that God is going to.
We don't know when. We don't know when, Pastor, but it's coming.
It's coming.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We don't know when, but it's coming. Jesus told us that. It's coming.
We don't have bridges and buildings falling and bridges falling and it's just everything is falling because we're living in a fallen. The world is in a fallen state. It's in a fallen state where it comes to, and even God's church is in a fallen state, and that's why everything is falling. It's falling.
Mm-hmm.
There's devastation, terror. And they don't know they're messing with the Most
falling,
High God.
Falling of the leaders.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because they are. This is a falling away of the church.
That's right.
In that time right now, they're falling away, but God, everything else is going to be falling right around them. It's falling right
now. Paul says, there's got to be a falling away.
Yes, there's a falling away.
Yes.
And it's happening. It's happening. There's a falling away of the church.
Well,
and that is because they're in a state of, they're not in a state of repentance. And they're doing everything they want to do, like Apostle said, anything they feel like they want to do, they're doing it. And you know what's so sad about it? Is that they think they can continue without the divine judgment to come their way. They think they can continue to do it because you know what? That's taking advantage, and that's just taking advantage of the mercy of God. You know, that's like just walking on the mercy of God, like trampling on His mercy. And that's so sad because it's because of the mercy of God that He's given them time to repent. Time to repent. Time
Thank
to
you,
come
Jesus.
Out.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's a patient, long-suffering God. He's very But God is bringing it on. He's bringing it on. And they haven't seen what's about to come yet. They haven't seen the worst of it.
I have not seen.
They haven't seen the worst
mm-hmm.
of it.
Oh, God.
We haven't seen the worst of it yet, Apostle. There's more disease. There's more of everything that's out here. There's more of it to come.
Yep, sure enough. It's coming.
Father, help.
It's coming.
Help us.
Like a flood. And then when it comes,
Lord,
it comes
help
suddenly.
Yes, yeah.
Like a thief in the night. Huh?
Suddenly. Bam,
there
it is. Suddenly. But at least God gives, thank God He gives us warnings, Apostle.
He's been giving us warnings for thousands of years.
Did you know that last storm, Apostle? Whole communities just disappeared.
That's what
cities
he was talking about. Yeah.
How
it was going on. Mm-hmm.
One of the beaches in Florida just disappeared. It's
gone.
There's no beach. They say it's totally destroyed.
Mm. Puerto Rico, huh? Large Puerto Rico is gone. Yes, it is. How long does it say?
Puerto Rico has to work.
You know, so many years before they can even get electricity back.
That's right.
You took us through a journey this morning in the Bible.
Through the whole Bible, I'm telling you.
I mean, we went through the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. And if nobody wanted to listen, well, that's on them. There's so much scripture today. mean,
you know,
the journey through from Genesis all the way through.
You know,
it's just beautiful.
People just not realize it. I don't know what it is. The enemy has just blinded them. I don't know.
You just said it, Bishop. You just said it. The enemy has blinded them.
Blinded.
You just said the magic word right there. The enemy has blinded them.
Yes.
That's it.
You know, a lot of people didn't
That's
like
right.
this man. Bill Scott, what's his name? Gil Scott-Heron, they didn't like him.
Yeah,
He said, I think Reagan was running for office. He told the truth. He said, you know what? He said, it's going to be a general panic. So just panic now and avoid the rush, you know, because it's going to be one.
Yeah,
Prepare yourself for it. Panic now and avoid the rush. So
that's right.
I'm going to be not in panic. But I'm going to be of the awareness, you know, be of the awareness of what's going on. And you know, what we're telling you, listen. Open up the eyes of your heart. Listen. Listen. You know, and obey what your leaders tell you. But obey the truth, what they tell you. When they tell you something, I say it a lot of times. Don't take Bishop's word for this. Open your Bible and read it for yourself. That's why I give the scripture number.
That's right.
Read the Bible.
Look at it for yourself.
God put understanding of what he's saying, because everybody is not, can't decipher things the same. So ask the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you the answer. He's going to send it by somebody, or he's going to audibly speak it to you. You know, it's up to what he says, up to what the Holy Spirit says. Not he, because there's no gender. The Holy Spirit. This is the problem. Some people have tell them, and they just sit there. You know, sit, okay? Stand. No, walk. Ain't going to move. He goes, hey, this is what I know. Grandma was in this church. I was in that church. My daddy was in that church. So where am I going to go? Go to where they're telling the truth. They're going to stay in that church because family was in that church. You know, and hey, maybe you might have been, it comes from a family that went through churches and the pastors of those churches were preaching truth,
mm-hmm.
but it could be that one church in a whole big city, you know, that one church that's preaching the truth,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the other 99% of them was preaching. Yeah, yes, God wants us to have things, yeah, you know, but he also wants us to share.
He wants us to prosper in
all things. That's right. In health, there you go.
Your soul has to prosper.
Right.
Prosper.
But you have
and
to
you
open up the eyes of your heart.
Nobody can do that but God.
Hallelujah.
Nobody can open up the eyes of our hearts but God, and no one can give us the understanding we need but God. But many of them know, they know better.
Oh, glory.
But they continue to go on.
Well,
continue to do what they're doing because, you know, well, I'm still blessed. Nothing is happening to me. I still got everything.
Apostle said that today.
Yeah.
Oh, I got my fine car and my house and everything.
It doesn't look
what happened? What happened with Iron? How you say his name? That hurricane.
Ian.
What happened with Ian? Yeah, they had a bunch of people. They had nice cars, nice homes, and now they have rubble. The clothes on their back. So now what you gonna do? You know, what you should have been doing before that happened. Oh Lord, help us. You know, and people should think about it. I live in the middle of the ocean. You know, I'm on an island in the middle of the ocean. They got water all the way around me. Why wouldn't I? You know, thank God.
It's Satan. It's so deceitful. They think they're doing what's right. Long as I'm not doing nobody anything, long as I got mine, and I'm not, they don't feel like they're committed.
Nope. John,
like
I think it was John Hager said, Pastor said, well, I got mine. It's me and my four and no more. You know, you hear me?
No more, that's right.
Me and my four and no more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They feel like they got it all going on because they feel like nothing is happening to them, so they can keep going on like they're going
nothing
on.
Nothing is happening to them at present.
Yeah, but it's something.
But you have to think about stuff we don't know.
What about when you leave here?
Ah, kobabasata.
Ah,
that's in the future. That's
in
the future.
They think they're going up.
Oh, they're buying the space. You buying property in space.
They got architects, Apostle. They actually have architects designing homes.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be in space.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
They invested all kind of money. So
yeah, they invested money in space, you know. Yeah. You know what? That's the kind of dumbness they used to talk about years ago. Well, look, there's this bridge that's crossing Lake Pontchartrain. You want to put stock in it, you know? That ain't your bridge in the beginning. You know, how you going to sell? What you going to do trying to sell something that don't belong to you? Okay, the enemy did it. He tried to sell Jesus his own property. You know, I'll give you all the kingdoms
right.
of the world if you just bow down.
You're right. Because...
Yeah, you know, you'll steal my car and then come back and sell it to me. So the is when you're that stupid that you can believe that they can do it. Like that guy, Apostle, you got a guy broke in my car. I was in the ballroom. I was drinking. Guy went in my car and took my CD. Well, it wasn't CDs then. It was a cassette player made for the, you know, in the radio. Took it out of my car. And about 3 or 4 days later, I was in that same bar. I was very upset because my unit was gone. Guy come in there to try and sell it. You know? And you heard of Magnum Force? I just
mm-hmm.
pulled it out on him. I pulled it out on him. I said, where did you get my radio from? He almost tore the door down getting out of there. I wasn't going to shoot him. I really wasn't. No, I wasn't. I was angry because he left my radio. I was happy. But I wasn't angry enough to shoot him. And besides that, you know, bullets were 75 cents each then. He wasn't worth it.
Oh, wow.
No. You think I was going to throw away 75 cents? At 5-6 feet away, at 218 gram, 357 mag, 357 magnum, 318. Well, it depends on the load. 318, I can't think of what they call it, 318 grams.
God is way much more forceful than magnum.
Well, I tell you what, that's the kind. That's the kind of picky up off the floor.
We're talking today about the God force.
That's
about
right.
Force
that's right.
The power of God.
That's right.
None of the guns, none of the weapons.
None of that.
Nothing can compare to the power of God.
No,
none
there
of that
is
can compare.
There is no power
all of the
more powerful than God.
All of the money and all of the material things, nothing compares to the power of God. You cannot run,
right.
You can't hide. You think you're running and you're hiding, but you're not.
Nope.
God sees it all. He knows where everybody is in place. And God got his plans in place. So
that's right.
Thank God we know. We thank God we know, and we praying for people to come to the
Amen. Amen.
That they have to change. Change must come. Change must come. So God will show enough make some changes.
Change.
Everything in this earth is changing.
Well,
Sam Cook not singing.
We know if he said the word. He said that the elements, everything, the celestial things, and he correct me because I was thinking he was talking about the angels, but he said, no, not the angels. Those things that he made is celestial, that They are made by him. And he says, sun, the moon, and the stars, they're going to melt like butter from the fire. So you understand that them bunkers can't stand.
When you said that, Apostle, I said, well, my God, all this time I didn't realize it. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it. The celestial things, which means angels, you know, stars, moon, all them fallen angels, they go just...
They got fallen angels in chains right now.
Oh, yeah.
God got to be chained.
Yeah.
He can't go nowhere. He got angels in chains right now. Some fallen angels.
That's right.
Have already been put into chains.
Mm.
And they can't go nowhere. They can't do anything. God got them in total darkness. And the Bible says they chained up. That means you locked down. You're not going to do nothing no more.
No.
Locked down.
You can't.
They got a different place for the angels. There's a hell that's designed just for them. Just for them. And there's a hell for everybody.
The Bible says that the enemy will be locked up for 1,000 years. But that's for the dead in the life of God. Mm-hmm. 1,000 years.
Thank God.
Oh, Jesus.
Thank God for the word
today. According to, you know, estimate, we don't know. A day in the life of God may be never ending. We don't know. Because God has no time. You know, he made time, you know, to let us know, hey, your time is up. You know, hey.
Hmm.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, let me draw your attention here beforehand. Cover yourself.
That's what he's doing. He's allowing God's people who are still alive to see it.
Well, if you're spiritually blind, you can't see it.
That's true, but it's supposed to, you know, many people are starting to wake up, though. There are people that's waking up.
Praise the Lord.
You know, I believe.
You say it
to
me. Thank you, Jesus.
There are people that's waking up.
Thank you, Jesus. You say it to me.
Mm-hmm. There are people that's waking up through all of this.
Mm.
And many will come out and get saved.
Thank you, Lord.
Many will be saved. Heard in the word, there's more of us than there are of them.
Amen.
There's more of us than there are of them. And God is always going to prevail because of his power and because he's the owner. He owns everything and everybody. Nobody gets away with anything. Hallelujah. Whatever you're doing, God can see it. So, who's on the line?
No.
Nobody?
Just us and Deacon. Just us and Deacon.
Oh, my God.
So, you let me know when you are, if you are going to preach tomorrow. You are going to preach tomorrow?
Of course.
Monday. Whoa.
We don't have any.
Well, no. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't have an appointment for the 31st, Apostle, so prepare for the 31st. I have to go for my injection.
Okay.
And your eyeball.
Bishop has to go to New Orleans to his appointment. So
yeah.
We got a busy
okay.
day. I'm going to
on the 31st for sure.
The direction of where so my son-in-law is going to be busy Monday because he's got to get one from one side of way in Covington. I have to go, and then Bishop's got to go to New Orleans. So thank God our times are different times, you know.
Well, mine is for 1:20.
Well, that's okay. I'll stay.
I don't know where.
Anyway, we'll figure all that out. But mm-hmm. Apostle, just next Monday.
Yeah, we'll take care of that. We'll take care of that.
On the 31st.
And that's what we have to do.
But he's talking about tomorrow. Man.
I know tomorrow's fine. Tomorrow's fine. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow is good, but the next Monday, I think, well, I know the 31st, that's the day of the appointment. I have to go get that injection.
Well, he got me pushed back so far, it ain't funny. I got one on the 7th of November, one on the 25th of November. We're in December.
All it is just going, you know, a lot of people don't ever want to go to the doctor to get their routine.
Oh, yeah, right. You better.
Get your heart checked, get your blood work, get the things that need to be done for your body.
Yes.
And a lot of people just don't want to do that. And next thing you know, bam, something is happening. you know, because we're not taking care of ourselves.
Mm.
It's not anything major, Apostle.
No.
It's just the proper tests that need to be done.
Yeah,
with my knee, you know, it is what it is with my knee, and I just pray about it. But you know, it is what it is. That's all I can say. But take care of yourself. Go to the doctor.
That's right.
And get the, because we can't see what's going on inside our bodies. God knows. God can see it.
He can
and
heal it too.
He will process to go and do
it. He'll heal it too. And you know, what happened to my knee? Nothing. There's nothing wrong with my knee. He miraculously does things. He heals them.
He can give me a new knee without surgery.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
My God.
I was just last night listening to some things on YouTube, and this doctor, she's in California. She's a Korean, Asian. I know she's Korean. She's an Asian doctor. Let me say it as well. And she, apart from listening to her, she's very good. She says she treats a lot of the actors and actresses that want to lose weight, and they want to lose weight in a hurry for certain shows, parts and stuff. She put them on different things. And she was talking last night. I said, man, the song show. And she was talking about this thing called fructose and corn syrup.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of the ones I wrote them down. She said and preservatives, she was talking about there, in everything that, anything that's on the shelf that got to last a long, that want to keep in the shelf for a long time, you should stay away from. She said you should stay away from. Those mess with the enzymes in your digestive system. I said, wow. She says one of the things that will take you out of this world is potato chips. So, well, I never think about it.
Oh, Lord.
I was watching that stuff last night. I write down some stuff in this three or four things that she said you should have, and you should always put in your body because it helps the enzymes in your body. She talks about something called amylase and lipase, which AMYLASE, amylase. And lipase, LIPASE, and bromelain. She said these three that you should have in your house all the time because they help your digestive system. She said if you keep these in your house, what they would do, it will destroy the radicals that are trying to cause your body to make fat in your intestines instead of destroying the fructose causes your body to work against itself. So I said, it makes sense to me. That way I look at, I like what those chips you call them, Doritos, and spicy Doritos. I love them. And my granddaughter loves them. I went and looked at them thing last night. I went and looked at them, Pastor. They got so much fructose and corn syrup and all that stuff. And all these little things that said they're supposed to be These look like a candy bar. Call them NG bars. They're good for nuts and all this stuff in them. But when you read the pack, oh my God, they got so much stuff to clog your arteries up in them. And the doctor was talking about, I said, wow. My wife buys these stuff all the time. She likes them. I don't eat that stuff. But the chips, I'm definitely gonna cut myself off from them. He said it will clog up your arteries, it will jam your intestine, and cause your body. He said when you start to get heavy, they call them some waistlines. They call them some names she called. I said, she says that's because you eat a lot of them chips and those cakes from them place that they want to last on the shelf, keep on the shelf long. If there's the cakes that the bakery make, you can buy them. But the ones that they say coming from factories that they want to keep, they're going to keep in the store for 3 or 4 weeks, 5 weeks and stuff like that, they're putting preservatives in them. The preservatives are no good for you. They will kill you. I said, wow. Make me sad. You know, sometimes you listen, you hear some stuff that really, really give you some makes sense. So I went and looked in the cupboard and started looking at stuff, and I see that stuff full of fructose. And you know where it goes? In the trash can. In the trash can. That's right.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Knowledge is powerful. It's good to know. The best thing is to use fresh everything, just fresh.
Instead
of buying the vegetables and the cans and all that, buy the frozen ones.
Buy them fresh.
Buy the fresh.
Fresh.
You know, do the fresh fruit.
I got them fresh. I got a lot of tomatoes. I got onions. I got ginger. I even got cabbage and stuff there. And I plant three of those stalks from the pineapple. Only one leaf. And I got one. He growing up says that one is growing real nice. So hopefully next year I'll have me a big pineapple coming off of there, and I'll grow another one. Yeah, but I grow a lot of good stuff, fresh stuff that I get from my garden, you know. So that'll feed my body the right stuff, because I want to grow old. I want to grow old with my wife and praise the Lord, you know. I want to feel like Abraham, mm-hmm. you know.
That's right.
So I got to take care of it. If I don't take care, nobody going to take care of me. I got to take care of my body, you know.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank God for the word.
Yeah, well, Bishop, if you feel like you can go ahead and close this out, because Deacon is not saying anything, and let Bishop pass it on.
Yeah.
You sound good, though. Bishop sound good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Close this out.
I'm going to have to get Deacon to call and find out what's going on and see if he'll talk
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
He called at 25 minutes to one, so I don't know what's going on. I mean, he's done that before, but we just haven't even heard his voice in about 3 days now. And that is not like him. I'll check on him today. He did call Thursday, but when he called Thursday, we were watching the ball game, and his favorite team, the Saints, was on. And so I'm like, okay, but the Saints is playing. We're watching the football game. And I told him, I texted him and I said, I'm watching the football game. And that I would talk to him another time. And so I don't know what's going on. But something is not right. All right, Bishop. Apostle said you could close.
Okay. Okay, Apostle. Yes, we do.
Thank you all. Thank you all for coming on. And you'll send me a topic later. Send me a topic later for tomorrow.
Okay. Send me a topic. Let's see what we can talk about. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And Father, as we depart from this line, but not from each other. We depart from each other, but not from you, Father God.
Yes.
And let us live in peace and happiness with everyone.
Yes.
May the Lord bless
yes,
us
Lord.
And keep us. May the Lord shine his face upon
yes.
us and give us peace. We will meet again. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Love you guys. Talk to you all later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.